The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Lexi in here. Aviana Barrientos. Lexi Brinkley, didn't mean to be disrespectful in any way.
One name.
You're
like
just Lexi.
Madonna.
That's Lexi.
Well, I'm Bernadette. Nobody knows my last name.
So we could all go by our first name.
We could. And of course, you too, Kip. A lot of people just
know
Diamond.
You as
Kip.
And
Diamond.
What else do you need?
Yeah. We have great names.
Well, yeah, we do.
So do. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've got a really great show today. We really do. Kip's going to be talking about workaholism, unspoken danger.
Yes.
I've been accused of being a workaholic, but
I come dangerously close.
But I'm not. I'm just very passionate. I do anything I do really well and with as much passion as I can muster up every single day.
Yeah.
Unless somebody makes me mad.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
Well, you know, you asked what we want to talk about today. One of the things that I want to talk about in the opening, and I want to remind people, please, for the love of God, would you drive safe?
I was going
would
to
you
say,
be
was
mindful?
It the truck driver that you were a little
well, I almost right got, now. I really, truly almost got killed this morning on the way to work because of some stupid truck driver. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to say stupid. That's politically not correct, right? Here, let me say it again. Stupid truck driver.
Yeah, for emphasis.
No, seriously. Couple of other people would have gotten injured too. Just like, dude, or anyone out there driving. Think about, this is what I was thinking about. So the people around you could be like, pretend it's like your mother or your father or your brother or your sister or your nephew or your own children. You know, that you could, it could be a young driver that's scared out of their mind. It could be somebody old who just got some bad news. You just don't know. So don't be an a-hole and drive like a nice person.
I know. I always feel bad when I go around someone in the fast lane and I'm like, oh, they're like 80 years old.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm
like
doing it with attitude. Because I'm pissed,
right.
But
right.
Then I'm like, why'd I do that?
Why'd
you're
you
sorry,
do that?
Right? Like, I'm sorry. You're fine. Just maybe get over. Yeah. But you know, you're old. It's
yeah.
Nice.
Or
and
you could
the
be.
The reality is, the few seconds or few minutes that you're saving really doesn't.
It doesn't.
It
matter.
Doesn't matter, and it could cost you your life or the, right. Someone else's life.
Right.
Yeah. And so I just want to remind people to be mindful of that. Really.
I just signed a petition. Like, I live off of 380 up north.
Uh-huh.
And we've had so many fatalities along 380. And last weekend we had one where two people died in front of the new Braswell High School.
Oh, wow.
But the speed limit's 60, like going along this highway, but it's very now residential.
Yeah. Mm. Well, people have just lost their mind.
The limit.
No, yeah.
Well, and you
no
know I love to drive fast.
In and out.
But I only do it when it's safe. And, you know, I just have never been reckless that way. It's just no way to be, but you know,
well, you
it's
actually
funny.
Hit on one of my biggest pet peeves, which is the on ramp.
Right? That's where this happened.
Right.
I was trying to get on the freeway and I was driving perfect. I'm just telling you, I wasn't going too fast. I wasn't going too slow. I put my
you
directional
were speeding
on
up to join
yes.
traffic.
Yes. I was trying to get in and the truck driver just wasn't having it. And I even, you know, was mindful. Well, maybe he couldn't stop because maybe he was going too fast and it takes longer for a truck like that to stop. And maybe, but it's just a reminder to all of us to be more mindful, be more careful, you know, and it's funny, you ever wonder why you can remember names from like way, way back, but you can't remember the name of someone that you just got introduced to?
Oh, well, yeah.
What's up with that?
It's a brain function. Yes.
Well,
it is.
Well,
short-term memory versus long-term.
I was, you know, driving, processing, like, why people. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, where people made me think of an old teacher that I had in the first grade. And she used to say that all the time. It was a Catholic school.
People.
Like, her name was Sister Mary Edwards. Now, I haven't seen her. Thought of her, you know, in years and years and years.
But it was lodged there.
I was able to pull up her name, but she spanked me in front of the whole class. I've told this story, not for I haven't told it in many years, because she wanted me to keep my raincoat on. She was watching me out the window at Sacred mm-hmm. Heart Elementary School when I was a little girl.
That's
and she said,
terrible.
She said, keep your raincoat on. Well, you know what kind of a free spirit I am. So the minute I get outdoors, my raincoat is off. And I was jumping in puddles. I was in first grade. Okay. I was 5 years old because I started school when I was four. I was very, very young. And so I came in the next day. She scolded me in front of the whole class and spanked me. And I've told this story. And guess what I did?
Did you hit her
back?
Spanked
her back.
I told her she was mean and I ran home.
There you go.
Well, you're not wrong.
I can see that. I can see you doing that too.
I will not take direction from you. You are mean.
It's not about direction.
You're mean. I'm going home.
She was just being a controlling nun. Those nuns are crazy, some of them.
Those crazy nuns.
Some of them are really crazy. They're very controlling, I swear, back in the day.
I've never met a nun.
Well, you've never met a nun?
No.
Oh, yeah.
The nuns
at my
school were so mean.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we won't say what school you went to, but yeah.
Yeah,
it's
I'm a
local.
Product of Catholic school too. And man, those nuns were harsh.
They are harsh.
You got to get all those buttons, if you're
choking.
But
see, I know your brain code. Well, actually, I know.
Okay, so.
And anytime you're in a strict, regimented, controlling environment.
I hate it.
You're going to rebel.
Yep.
You're going to rebel.
Can't constrain us. Can't confine us.
You got to be in a situation where that allows for your creativity.
Yeah. So does that come out physically too? Because I don't like to wear socks. I never have. Like, I'm barefoot all the. My nickname was Socks because I wouldn't keep my socks even on or my shoes. Like, seriously, and I walk around barefoot all the time, which is how I break my feet so much.
They're too restrictive to wear
socks. I don't know. That's why you're the shrink.
I like socks, and we have the same brain code, so
we do.
That can't be.
No, I think that's just.
Is it true that you sleep better with socks on? I've heard that.
I can't sleep with socks on.
Who are you?
I sleep with socks on. I gotta have socks on too.
Kip. No.
Yes.
How?
I lose socks.
Do you not lose them in your sleep?
Why would you
I lose
them
in the dryer. I lose them in the washer.
What are you having, some kind of crazy aerobic sex or something? What's
going on?
I never know.
What have you been doing?
How do you wake up with two socks on, though? That's my question. If you've ever gone to sleep with two socks and woken up with both of them, I don't understand.
Yeah, I always lose socks,
I think,
too.
Because
who
don't
sleeps
do
with socks on? Kip?
Yeah. Only
you
Kip.
Do.
Yeah. Diamond,
you
do
don't?
You?
No.
Nope, don't.
No. I
Isn't
sleep almost naked.
So you're the only one that sleeps with socks on. I wonder what that means. I know another.
I feel like Kip.
I gotta tell you. I gotta tell you.
Let's analyze the shrink here. That's fine.
Okay,
I'll take it.
One of my ex-husbands sleeps with socks on. He could not sleep without socks on.
Well, I will.
And I'm telling you, he's super uptight.
No, I will tell you this. In case my kids ever listen to this, I don't think I should say.
Oh,
that.
Go ahead.
Say
just
it.
Say it.
What is it? Well, something there are times sex. When I slept naked, for yes. sure, and I was fine, right? But I prefer socks, but I'm the kind
Did
of
you
person
sleep naked with
naked
socks?
With socks?
No.
It's like having sex with socks on.
I would be like, ooh, that's so weird.
No. The socks were off.
Sex with socks.
Have you had sex with socks on?
That's just weird.
I don't think I have. No. I don't think so. Not in my
just
memory.
To think
anyway.
About it.
With like just your socks, not like socks, pretty socks with high heels or something.
No, that I know. No.
Yeah.
But I and maybe this is because I grew up in the north, so it was cold, right? So you, especially in the winter, you had your flannels and your socks on and covers. Mm-hmm. And even now, I love having covers, and I'll put a pillow over my head, too. Mm-hmm. I just like feeling like I'm in a cocoon.
You need a weighted blanket.
Ooh.
That's what you need.
I like having covers.
I keep forgetting to order one of those. Mm-hmm. I bought one for Vinny. She loved it.
Yeah.
A weighted blanket. If you like the weight,
they say it's good for kids
who have
anxiety.
I don't like weight. I like the fluff.
I'll tell you what. I haven't slept in so many days. I need earplugs. I need eye mat. I need something to cover my eyes. Plug my ears.
Because you're not sleeping.
I might. You know what? I might be.
We are going to have some solutions for you.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to break. We've got Jules Clark coming up. She is the founder of How to Be Social, a creative entrepreneurial community focused on inspiration, collaboration, and education. She's in studio with us. She's young and darling. You're going to love her. We're going to be talking about, like I said, being social and decreasing loneliness. And then, of course, Kip Watson is going to be talking about workaholism, the unspoken danger. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Now let go, lend some love and do the same for you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
This holiday season, give the gift of proper elimination. The modern day toilet is convenient, but it has one major fault. It requires us to sit. While sitting to do our business may be considered civilized, studies show that the natural squat position improves our ability to eliminate. Go to squattypotty.com/onelife for 15% off your entire purchase. Happy holidays to you. Poop poop be doo.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Hi, this is Sean Wells, certified sports nutritionist, registered dietitian, and biochemist. One Life Radio and I are so excited about the launch of our Thorne dispensary. Thorne is the most used brand by medical practitioners as a result of its industry-leading quality control. Further, Thorne has a team of doctors, chemists, and dietitians formulating their products to be the gold standard. There are very few products I would personally endorse as a clinician, nutritional biochemist, and the world's greatest formulator, but Thorne is atop my short list. Visit OneLifeRadio.com to shop my hand-selected vitamins and supplements, including FloraPro LP Probiotic, Berberine 500, MethylGuard Plus, and Resveratrol in optimized resveratrol. Be sure to click our banner on OneLifeRadio.com and create an account to receive your exclusive 20% discount along with free shipping today.
What if you could prepare, predict, and prevent when you struggle as an athlete? What if I gave you a clear roadmap as to what your issues could be, whether that's anxiety, lack of confidence, motivation, focus, relationship issues, depression, and even addiction? Well, that's what I do. It's a simple yet unique process to help you understand and improve what we call the intangibles, or the mental side of sports. And once we know, then we go to work improving your mental and life skills so you achieve consistent, high performance. Hey, let's face it, you invest a lot of time and money on the physical side of sports. The mental side is just, if not more, important. I'm Kip Watson, sports psychology professional. Visit my website at braincodecorp.com. That's braincodecorp.com.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans. But they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education, and I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
Just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Kip Watson in studio with me and Jules Clark. You can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter. And you can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies that bring this programming to you, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best plant-based vegan protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products. And, of course, Squatty Potty. Use the code squattypotty.com/onelife to get 15% off. It makes great Christmas presents. And, by the way, humans are designed to squat when they poop. So remember that.
Yeah. I used mine this morning.
I did too.
Clockwork.
And I had a chocolate Sun Warrior protein shake, as I do most mornings, unless I'm intermittent fasting. But seriously, the modern day toilet, you know, it's convenient, it is, and it's beautiful, but it has a major fault. It requires us to sit. So, and especially if you're short or if you're older, that's not good. Or
you're
younger, I would say. You have to learn to go the poo, like, right out of the go, you know, and do it well.
Well, I'm thinking this is why I had issues when I was, like, in grade school.
Absolutely.
Like,
it probably was.
No, and I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't know.
No, absolutely. And I, you know, no.
Think about that. You sit on the toilet and your feet are just dangling
there.
Yeah.
How do you make it happen?
That's probably why all these kids have so many issues.
Digestive issues.
And they make squatty potty, so you can start, potty training them with a squatopotamus right out of the gate.
Yeah,
so the little
really
one.
Cute, little hippo.
But I want to give a mention as well to Paleo Magazine and the Wellbeing Journal, that are both great magazines and a journal that, support the show. We appreciate it. You can visit Paleo Magazine. Visit them at paleomagonline.com to download the digital version or find a store near you and pick up a copy. And, of course, the Wellbeing Journal is now available both in print and digital version. Order online at wellbeingjournal.com. Jules, it is a pleasure to have you in studio and meet you.
Oh, you're too sweet.
We saw you. I saw you on social media. Which is funny because we're talking, that's what you do. You're trying to teach people how to be more social. So let me tell people a little bit more about you.
Sure.
Jules Clark is the founder of How to Be Social, a creative entrepreneurial community focused on inspiration, collaboration, and education. Over the last year, How to Be Social team has thrown multiple events in the Dallas area featuring local artists and speakers. Jules is currently writing a book, Don't Tell Us No, a book with tales from young people, how they define and created success for themselves. You can find her on her website at howtobesocial.blog. So let me ask you this. So how does being social equate to not being lonely?
Well, a lot of the times people will think that being social is just going out and talking to as many people as they possibly can. That's a misconception. And also, being social and being lonely are totally two different things too, because being lonely doesn't mean that you're not happy being alone. I think we can all agree that we like our alone time. And I am the most social of them all, and I love being lonely.
Well, me too. And that was going to be one of my questions that I had written down, that is there such a thing as being too social and being afraid to be alone?
I definitely think there is. I think that every person goes through a time where they're forced to be by themselves. And if you're not prepared for that time in your life, then it's going to be really, really hard. It's that transition period of, oh, I've never had to like sit by myself and really think in these thoughts. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, this is really scary and I don't know what I'm doing.
So define social, if you will, because I define social as someone who can enter. I can enter into a conversation with anyone. That's mm-hmm. how I feel. And I've been able to do that since I was a small child. I love to talk. I love to socialize. I love to get to know people, but some people think of it as like going to events, right?
Yeah, and I think the difference is what I try to describe and tell people is it's defining your own social norms. So if you're a shy person and talking to two new people a day, or even maybe like just texting someone, hey, you want to hang out this weekend, is defying your own social norm, that's being social. Because I'm not going to force my type of social or Bernadette's type of social on anybody else, because that might freak somebody out and might turn them off to the idea of being truly social.
Because some people are very afraid. They have legitimate fear about being social, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely something that people get really, really scared about. And I think a lot of the times people immediately get turned off and they're like, you have to do it this way.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you don't have to.
Well, I'm going to go to you, Kip, since you are the shrink here on the job. Kip Watson is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor and a sports psychology professional. What do you want to say about what we're talking about?
Well, I think it's true. There are some people that where this being social, networking, going to events, perhaps where you don't know anybody, is an anxiety generating thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where it's much easier, like you said, the norm for me as a social person is I'd much rather, as an introvert, do it with one or two, three, four people. Mm-hmm. I hate going to big events where I don't know anybody. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
It's anxiety ridden for me. But I do them because I have to. Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My job requires it and I can do it. But I like how you're defining that. It might be different for different people.
Yeah. And I think the important thing to remember is that being social doesn't mean that somebody looks at me and they go, oh, I have to be Jules Clark. I have to be social in the way that she's social. I encourage people to be social in whatever way that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, because in that uncomfortable period, you're growing.
Well, you're young. What do you feel about social media? It annoys me personally. I'm so over it. And the importance of social media, I just want to vomit.
No, don't do this that.
Okay, so what do you say to me?
Yeah. So actually, my background is in digital marketing. So,
oh, great.
Oh, Lord. But honestly, I believe that it's just everything is an extension of our senses, right? So social media and bringing things online is just an extension of what we already know, which is connecting with people. And I think that Kip can agree with me that online engagement doesn't give you that tick in your brain that giving a handshake or a hug does with somebody, but we can still reach a lot of people on social media. And so I think it's a really important tool.
Absolutely, especially if you put your TNA out there.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, seriously. And it's ridiculous. Like, it's gotten to the point where it's like, it is pornography.
No. So,
there's this one thing that I get in my feed, and I keep it on there because it shocks me so much, the stuff that is out there. And that's just one small little example. But you see, like, all these, I mean, I have people in my family, like nieces, and that are guilty of it. Of like, just, you know, and it's mostly females too. Has this become like a competitive thing?
So a lot of it has to do with the fact of that chemical that gets released in your brain where it's like, oh man, I love the satisfaction, the like, the addiction. And I think that a lot of people get caught up in that addiction of letting it be a bad thing. And that's where you get like the booty pics or like the, oh yeah, I look cute today. So like and comment. But it doesn't have to be used for that purpose.
I'm coming up on the elevator. I saw on the news feed. It's kind of funny. And I was like, what? Because, you know, it goes by really fast. But here's the gist of it, that millennials spend more money on likes than they do on food.
What?
Wait,
on buying
Who
likes.
Needs to eat? I'm just kidding.
I mean, seriously.
Buying likes. Yeah.
Yes. They spend more money like promoting and buying likes.
Well, to be fair, as an expert in the field of digital marketing, I know for a fact that's going to come to an end really soon, because these social media platforms are catching on so quickly. And people, an expert like me, it will become basic knowledge to be like, oh, you bought your followers. Like, we all know you did. Your engagement rate is not high. Mm. So it just depends on, as the future progresses, how people educate themselves online.
And shouldn't social media, just like having a social life, be like a slow, natural growth? It's something that you cultivate as you get older, how to be better at it?
I think that it's just like anything in life. If you make it a priority and you're like, I am going to be good at this thing, you can grow at it really quick. I had a friend that was at 10,000.
But how do you do that without coming off fake?
So I think it also... So when I first started my platform, How to Be Social, my whole thing was I listened to so many podcasts and they were like, you should do something that feels authentic, something you're really good at. And I was like, you know, I'm not really good at a lot of things, but I'm great at being social. I'm great at being true to myself. And that was the thing that I came out with. And so I did Instagram videos and all these things, just inspiring people to be the best that they possibly could be. Because that was the only thing I was an expert at, was helping other people be the best that they could be. And that was enough. People really enjoyed it. They engaged with it. And I think it's just finding something that you're really good at and giving that back to people.
Well, you know what's so funny? This will make you guys laugh. I'm being very candid here. So I already said this. I got my eyebrows microbladed a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And because I've always had light hair and so she said when she began, she's like, you want just natural eyebrows, right? You don't want like Instagram eyebrows. And I'm like, what are Instagram eyebrows? And she said they're eyebrows that are just really big and really prevalent because that's what's big on Instagram. And I said, you have to be kidding me.
Wow.
Like, that's how phony we have become. That's why I don't like social media.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing with you. Like, what the heck? I'm not disagreeing with you. I think that there is some good, bad, and ugly to it. But I think that with everything that's technological advancement, the good outweighs the bad. I truly believe that, and that's just kind of the way I take it. And I try to look at life that way. I always look at the good out of every bad situation.
Yeah, so, no, so I do too.
I have a question for you, Jill. So as a young person whose expert area is in social media and digital marketing, what is your take on, like, we've seen a lot of studies where young people don't know how to engage face-to-face, eyeball to eyeball, versus doing it through text or doing it through, you know, some sort of digital means?
And I totally have read those studies, and I've kind of done my research on that. And that's something that I've really been working on this past year. So How to Be Social started off as a blog online, and it's grown into this huge community where the last event that we did had over 200 people at it. And for me, I had a moment. I was like, man, it's really hypocritical if this thing's called How to Be Social and it never comes offline.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you will never lose that event. Like, the event industry will never lose. It might get smaller, it might get more niche, but you will never see the end of the event industry or people going to events, because people need that interaction. Mm-hmm. You just don't get that same interaction online that you do in person.
Yeah. Well, tell everyone to like us and follow us, okay?
Make sure you go to One Life Radio, hit them up, share, talk
One Life
about
Radio
it.
One Life Radio.
Excuse me. Yeah, I tagged them.
When I originally set up the Instagram, I don't even know who
she
did it.
She forgot the password.
I forgot the password, and I've never been able to change it.
We're trying to get it back.
We can't figure out who set it up. It was just, you know.
Maybe one day. Maybe I can help you all. Maybe we can figure it out, guys.
Okay. All right. Well, Jules, I didn't get to ask you every question that I wanted to, so maybe you come back sometime.
All right, maybe.
Okay. All right. You can be social with me.
Hey, I like being social with you. You're fun, Bernadette. We can have a good time.
Right. I love it. Everyone, we've got a great show continuing on here. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking with Kip Watson, Workaholism, The Unspoken Danger. We'll be right back. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and try to release that pressure. Get up off of that thing. It's mistletoe season, and you know what that means. You've got to be chill and have minty fresh breath. You never know when you might want to kiss someone. The H-Hemp Company offers their Super Breath Blast CBD spray that is my absolute favorite hemp oil product on the market. It just makes me feel happy, especially during the crazy holiday season. Its small size makes it easy to throw in your purse or pocket, so you're never without it. Give the gift of fresh breath this season with a CBD kick. Two or three sprays does the trick and will leave you feeling completely refreshed. Go for it. Go to thehempcompany.com. Put four in your cart and use the code OLR1 to buy three and get one free. That's OLR1. Trust me, it's a really cool gift.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Well-Being Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker, and this is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Whoever said you can't poop in style? The Curve is a sleeker version of the original Squatty Potty stool that will look fabulous in any bathroom. Choose from pink, black, gray, or white. Its minimalist design is sure to please the eye while staying durable and built to last. Go to squattypotty.com/onelife for 15% off your entire purchase. Poop, poop, be do.
right, let's get to work.
All right.
Right after I give these sponsor shout-outs again. Let everyone know you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Squatty Potty, the H Hemp Company, Paleo Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Speaking of which, the H Hemp Company has a special going on now through the end of the year.
We're doing a special holiday package with the Minty Breath Sprays. You put four in your cart and you enter the code OLR1, and that fourth Minty Breath Spray is free. So you get buy three, get one free.
Well, and let me tell you. So I was reading last night. I read all the time. But right. I was reading about the CBD bioavailability and why does it matter.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to tell you that spraying it in your mouth and putting it, what's it, sublingual? Is that what, how you, what you call it when
mm-hmm.
you do that? Yeah.
I believe that.
Sublingual is one of the best ways to receive it in your body.
Awesome.
So,
get
so those
minty
tinctures.
Breath sprays. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can have freshy breath and be really Ooh. Calm, cool, and collected, and then find someone to make out with.
Freshy.
And maybe you could find them on Bumble on social media or something. I don't know. Okay. We're going to be actually talking about dating on social media with Jules and Lexi in the upcoming weeks.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe next week at the opening of the show. So
if I'm still here, if I haven't gone into labor.
You haven't gone into labor. Well,
yeah. Don't
have a Bumble baby.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a Bumble baby.
A Bumble baby.
What are the odds?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Get on Bumble, you get a baby out of it. Everyone.
And married. Don't forget that part.
We'll get there.
She'll get there. Okay. So, Kip Watson, I love having you in studio. Been with us for a very long time. If this is maybe your first time joining us, listening to One Life Radio, Kip Watson is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor. She's also a sports psychology professional with two master's degrees and nearly 20 years of experience with athletes, coaches, families, and corporate teams. She is a certified high-performance coach, former professional athlete, mom of two teenagers, and you can find her on Twitter at KipFit.
You won't find me on Bumble.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Why not?
Not doing that.
Okay. What is... Okay, so Bumble's where you
You swipe.
Yeah.
You swipe.
But the thing is, instead of Tinder, the girls have to message first.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a little bit more power.
Right. Okay. So is Tindle's the one where you're basically just looking
Tinder.
For a hookup, right?
Tinder.
What did I say?
Tindle.
Tindle. Oh. I'm thinking
get
of Kindle.
Get your Kindle. Get by the
yeah.
fire.
Yeah, Kindle, Tinder. Yeah,
same thing.
I got it all mixed up. But is that the one where you look for like a quick hookup?
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's where it all originated from, and then it just got trashy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's never a good idea. I sound like a mother now. But even when I was younger, I would have probably said the same thing. I just don't believe in that. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
just use Bumble, guys.
Nothing good will come out of anything that happens after midnight. Now,
what is
true.
It?
True.
That's what my parents used to tell me. Oh my gosh.
Man, I always heard 2 a.m. Your parents cut you short.
Well,
oh my gosh.
Too, so.
Well, you know, Kip, I've been accused of being a workaholic.
Yeah, me too.
I have. And but I don't think I am. So,
okay.
You know, let's talk about, you know, we tend to look to people who hustle to stay in the grind, sacrifice sleep, weekends to achieve their goals. And how close is that to the definition?
Well, you know what? I think of all the isms, you know, we have alcoholisms mm-hmm. and of all the isms, this one's probably the hardest to define. Because those are words that we associate with it. Staying with it, in the grind, hustle, working as hard as you can.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, no matter what, all that kind of stuff.
I do believe in whatever it takes, though, at least initially, because you do have to dig deep sometimes and do stuff that you don't want to do in order to get the job done.
Well, right. That's very true, especially for an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. I am in the initializing phase right now, and I am doing whatever it takes.
Yeah.
So here's the official definition. So the compulsion or the uncontrollable need to work, which I think, you know, as a single mom with two teenagers, there was an uncontrollable need to work. Like I have to provide.
Yeah.
So I have to work. And my work weeks really for the past 10 years have been about 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it hasn't really shifted mm-hmm. too much. But here's
a woman works sun to sun and a man's work is fun. And, and holidays are a double shift.
Holidays are a double shift. They can be.
Yeah.
And I think holidays, there is a lot more that you need or have to do or you think you need to do.
Right. Well, and as a single mother, too, you're spread so thin.
Well, I'll tell you this. I haven't sent out a Christmas card in 10 years. Like, that's just something that's not ever going to get done.
No, I know. Me too. Seriously, me either. And I forget people's birthdays. I'm like, hey, I'm a dude now.
See, look at that. The young people don't even know what a Christmas card is.
I mean, that's typically speaking in a married couple, that's one of the jobs that the woman does, right?
Typically,
which is so sexist.
Which is what, so what we have found through some research, but using that definition is it affects about a quarter of the population. About 25% of the people will fall into this workaholism struggle.
So, you know, a lot of people might look at this and think, oh, that's so admirable, but is it?
I think the way you have to determine whether it is or it isn't is by asking, are your choices, are you present in all the other areas of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you've got work, and that can be both work that you got to do at home and then work, what you do as a vocation. You've got self-care that you need to take care of.
And don't then get you me started.
Relationships. And then you got to have time for play or vacation. And for me, that's always the last thing to go. I haven't been on a vacation in 4 years.
Wow.
That's not good.
No, that's not good.
Right? And that's where I kind of go, okay, work on.
You want to go with us to Los Angeles at the end of January?
But it's a financial thing. I just don't have the means.
It is. It's expensive.
Take a $5,000 vacation. Yeah. I don't have $5,000 to do that.
Right. Yeah.
So that's, but then it's like, but are you taking a long weekend and just going, you know, on a quick road trip to Austin or something?
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't done even that.
Wow.
You know?
Okay. We're going to kidnap you.
So I admit this is like hit close to home here as just something that you can struggle with. And is hard work important? Yes. Is doing whatever it takes to get your company going? You know, all that.
I take pleasure in working hard. I think it's because I'm so physical.
I mean,
like, I love the exercise. I love to be independent and do things myself. You know, I'm not that girl unless it's too heavy to ask a guy, can you carry in the dog food for me? You know, I got it myself.
Well, I think it's admirable until it starts harming you or the relationships you're in.
Well, I agree. And I think the thing about that is, work is not work if you enjoy it, which I think is what you're trying to say.
Absolutely.
I love working. I just hate when it starts to interfere with my relationships and I can't go home and see my mom or my cute nephews.
Yeah.
And that's if it keeps you from your relationships or it keeps you from proper self-care or it keeps you from doing other things besides work.
Okay, so
then it becomes a problem.
Well, so how do you distinguish that? How do you distinguish workaholism from a solid work ethic? Because that's what I think I have. It's just an extremely solid work ethic.
All right, so let me give you an example because I think most experts agree that it has to do with what we call mindset work towards work, right? And what you said, right? If you enjoy your work, it doesn't seem like workaholism, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it's a total dread, right, then
you might need to change careers.
But here's an example. An entrepreneur, which we all are, must often clock long hours in the early stages of her business. But if she's unable to detach and apply the same dedication to relaxation time, if she's likely to not to, she's likely not to experience those symptoms of long-term workaholism.
Or he.
Because she can. Well, I know. All women here, but right. If you're able to detach and be present with people, with friends, if you're able to detach and go spend an hour working out, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're doing your meditation, you're actually eating throughout the day and you're not ignoring eating. I know people who are workaholics who they go all day long and don't ever eat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take a break to go eat.
Yeah.
Or do any of that kind of stuff.
Well, and I agree because not too long ago, maybe a couple months ago, I was in that workaholic state. Like I was workaholism. I was definitely it. I was at a job that I didn't really enjoy being at. So after hours to do my business, I was working so hard. I didn't do anything. I hadn't talked to friends. I hadn't talked to family. And my roommate would come in and be like, when do you not think about how to be social? And I'm like, when I sleep, sometimes I dream about it. Like, I don't know. But I decided, I was like, if I wanted to not kill myself over this, over something I love and not hate it, I had to do something. And so,
so you
I resigned.
Recognized it.
Yeah, I resigned from my job. And I was like, I'm going to make it work some other way.
Well,
I'm not
in order
doing
to
it.
Be really good at something, you can't have an extra job, just by the way. That's some of the best advice you'll ever get for free, by the way.
All right, thank you.
Well, I think as entrepreneurs, conversely, if we are logging in the long hours and we feel guilty about not being at work, or we may be at home or with other people, but we're constantly looking our phone, checking our email, then you got a problem.
Yeah.
You're not able to detach. You're not present elsewhere.
Well, we're going to continue talking about this. And I found something about the socks and the sex.
Oh.
So we'll talk about that after the break, too. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Introducing Moonlight, the latest squat to poop stool from Squatty Potty. Moonlight will light your way to the toilet on the darkest of nights. May your love of Squatty Potty burn brightly day or night with a motion and light activated nightlight with three brightness settings. Go to squattypotty.com/onelife for 15% off your entire purchase. Follow the moonlight.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi, I'm Charlize Theron with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Almost all the puppies for sale at your local mall were churned out by breeding facilities called puppy mills.
Constant confinement drives the dogs mad. They are impregnated continually until they can no longer produce a litter.
If you choose a dog from the mall, a dog you could have saved from the pound will die.
Contact PETA to learn how you can make a difference at 757-622-PETA or visit PETA.org.
Hi everyone, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
Did you know a mother rat will dip her paws into cool water and gently smooth the fur around her infants' faces? The babies put their arms around their mother's neck and pay attention while being bathed. Rats and mice fall in love, risk their lives to save their kids, and giggle when tickled. Evan Walker writes of a mouse who died of shock in a trap. His life was a life fully as real to him as ours is to us. This creature, for all the irritation it may have brought as it scampered through closed closets or up some crevice in a wall, was as precious as you or I. He was not a machine that breaks and fails. He felt. His was consciousness, full and real and fragile and precious. This is Ingrid Newkirk with PETA, reminding us that it's easy to be kind, perhaps by not using glue traps.
I'm in heaven. Here we go. Okay. I'm gonna get my hoodie on tonight at home with my Sonos system. I can't take it. They're touring.
I know. I heard that.
I can't wait. I bare naked ladies too. I can't wait. It's like this song just makes me happy.
Sing it, Lexi.
Come on, sing.
I don't wanna why.
That was pretty spot
she
on.
Figured out the key. You can't close your mouth when you sing.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like I can't talk.
There it is.
Oh my gosh, I have too much fun here. It's not even fair. everyone. Welcome back.
This has not worked.
One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray on the control board and on the music. I've got Lexi Brinkley in studio. She's due to have her baby any day. Aviana Barrientos and Jules Clark. And, of course, Kip Watson. So, okay, so I have to tell you. You do have better sex with socks on.
See? You know, although I told you at the beginning of the show, though, that I think it depends on the socks, though.
I don't do that.
I feel
though.
Like if you always sleep with socks on, there's got to be one time that you had maybe sex with your socks
I don't recall. It's not like
I don't think you're thinking about the socks.
I know. I was
sex.
Like, I don't think that's what I was really focusing on.
That's true. Well, I guess that's a good sign.
The best lover I ever had in my life liked socks. So just saying, does that go for guys too?
I don't know.
I think so.
I've not done the research on that.
Because I'm looking at it. Where did it go? Oh, here it is. Oh, she sent it to both of us. It's right here. It says, PSA, wearing socks during sex makes you more likely to have a satisfying orgasm. Mm. And a new study finds that you should definitely be wearing socks during sex. Maybe I'll start a sexy sock company.
Let me get in on that.
Okay.
A little lace there.
Socks by Bernadette. Yeah, they'll be awesome.
Socks for sex.
You know what? I might do that. I'm so bored. I love the show, but I like to sell stuff. I really do. Right. I always have. Sell stuff that I love and believe in. Yeah. Sexy socks.
That's what you believe in?
Sexy socks.
Sexy socks. Get that name right now. Somebody's probably taking it.
I'm on it.
Get on it.
GoDaddy.com. She's like typing it up. I've got the business plan in the making.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, see, I'm a
the
workaholic.
The birth of an idea.
I can't shut it off, which is exactly what we're talking about. Like, I love to come up
with some really great designs myself.
I'm sure you could.
Oh, man.
Oh, look, it's available. Perfect.
Get it. Fine. Now. Okay. Like, I'm serious.
Okay. Sexy GoDaddy.
SexySocks.com. Okay. Here we go.
Here we go.
Strap on.
Oh. That took a turn.
That means because you're going to be working really hard.
Okay. Yes.
What is wrong with me?
It's okay. We love it.
It's all good. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so what are some consequences of workaholism?
Well, there's a lot of them, actually. Poor sleep is one of them. Digestive issues. They're usually someone who really is a true form of workaholism tends to have a shaky ego and is insecure. Ooh. And that's where they get their value and their security from.
Wow.
Is from being known as the guy or the gal that's on the grind all the time or on the hustle all the time.
Wow. And so it is dangerous.
Sure it is. And if you if it's long term and consecutive years of poor sleep and poor self care, you're going to have memory issues. We see a lot of increase in drinking and substance abuse in use. There's depression. There's anxiety. There's divorce.
Wow.
Multiple divorce. And ultimately, it leads to a decrease in productivity if it lasts long term.
What's behind the personality? I know you touched on it just a second ago. You said it's insecurity. That's your identity. Yeah. But what's really behind it? Is it something, what can make somebody definitively become a workaholic?
Well, there's really two in my line of work when I assess somebody's intangibles or their mental processing and their mental game. There's kind of two groups of brain codes where this tends to be more of a struggle because they're very motivated by their adequacy and competency.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot stand for anyone to question their competency. And so if that happens, then that's like, I got to fix that. I got to change that perception.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I don't ever give them any doubt to have that kind of perception of me in the first place, that's what leads to this just off the wall, over the edge, workaholic type of life.
Wow.
And then there's a group of people that are very motivated by financial security. And it's driven by a fear that they're not going to be financially secure in the future.
Yeah.
And so they work tirelessly so that they take care of that insecurity, which is more related to financial.
Well, and part of it is how you're raised, right?
That definitely contributes to it, for sure.
My parents, you know, they had 8 kids, so they had to work a lot. And I had a schedule I followed when I was a kid where we had to, you know, like, we followed the schedule, and if we didn't do our chores, we didn't have any. We couldn't go out. We couldn't go do. We could not socialize, Jewel.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Well, so, now she's talking about this. I was definitely the person that was scared that if I didn't get credit for what I was due, I was like, oh well, that's just not right. Mm-hmm. And I did a video. I'm gonna be releasing it, but I did a video on the same exact subject about how gratitude will replace that ugly feeling of needing the credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love it. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, thanks.
So, how can we manage or check ourselves with this? You know, what's a telltale sign, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask you.
Well, I would ask everyone to do sort of a self-assessment, and you got to take a look in the mirror. Is my brain, is my body headed towards exhaustion? Do I have the mental and physical stamina to do what I'm requiring myself to do? And if you don't, or if you're struggling there, then that's perhaps a sign that exhaustion, mental exhaustion and or physical exhaustion,
yeah,
that you're either workaholic or you're headed in that direction.
Or you're trying to save your company, maybe.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know.
Sometimes you go through difficult times.
Well, I called my daughter last night when I was headed home from work. It was like 9 p.m. And she's like, Mom, you're just now going home. And I'm like, well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work late.
Sundays are longer than others.
And she's like, she actually said this to me. She goes, I hope there comes a day when you don't have to work as hard as you do.
Aww.
I was like,
sweetheart.
I hope that comes too.
So what happens? Okay, so you brought up a good question, actually. Yeah. Led me to a good question. What happens when these people can no longer perform like that? Are they just miserable they get older and maybe can't work as hard?
It can lead to that, right? If you've worked yourself to a place of exhaustion, and you might see these signs starting to happen now versus when you get to that point, burnout. That's a common word we use for the exhaustion, the burnout. If you start having more bouts of anger, more bouts of resentment and bitterness, and you start getting chippy and edgy with everybody, then, you know, look in the mirror. Where are you headed?
Wow.
And why?
And I'll say, too, it's so important. My friends keep me so accountable, and they support me in so many ways. They'll be like, you know, you work really hard. Maybe you should take a break. And it's so important to have those friends, because sometimes it's hard to do a self-assessment and tell yourself, yo, chill out.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
and that's
absolutely.
That's one of my suggestions to do, is if you are having trouble assessing yourself, then get, you know, the five closest people to you to do that assessment and tell you.
Yeah. Well, so I was going to ask you, what are some simple to-dos that can be game changers with this?
Yeah. Talk to somebody who knows you, really knows you.
Yeah.
As to whether you're headed down that exhaustion path, the burnout path or not. What you mentioned earlier, Jules, is another great game changer, which is gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, get into a practice of gratitude. And I typically have my clients do three things in the morning, three things in the evening. They can be big or small things. And they can include the trials and the struggles and the problems.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You
because
give gratitude for that, too.
Absolutely. Okay, so my last question is, does your brain code or your personality facilitate or increase your likelihood of becoming a workaholic?
Short answer is yes.
Okay.
And if you fall into one of the two categories that I talked about, and of course, if you want to come see me, get an assessment done, and we can get you on a path of clarity and high performance habits where you have satisfaction and happiness both in work life and home life.
Okay. So Lexi and I have the same brain code. Are we more likely to be a workaholic? What are we? We're feelers. We're NSFPs something?
You're ENFPs. You're very entrepreneurial.
Okay.
And yes, there's kind of with your brain code, either this kind of I'm all in, all workaholic, or then a tendency to be lazy too. There's a little bit of a, it depends.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, really interesting. Always great. Kip Watson, thank you so much. Jules Clark, thank you so much. Everyone out there, thank you so much for listening. I want to give a quick shout out again to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Squatty Potty, the H-Hemp Company, Paleo Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Everyone, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.